This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Are you there, Sam?
Yep, hang on, I'm just turning that on.
Is our guest ready?
Yep, I've got the music ready.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep, sounds great.
Cool. Otago Access Radio, in partnership with Otago Polytechnic, brings you Blowing Bubbles.
Blowing Bubbles brings you positive conversations with people in their bubbles around the world.
We're curious about how people are finding new ways of life, being and problem solving. Every Wednesday, the Sustainable Lens team of Samuel Mann and Mawira Karatai reach out from our bubbles to chat with interesting and positive people around the world.
Broadcast on Otago Access Radio, 105.4 FM in Dunedin, and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz.
Bringing joy, connection, kindness and peace in all the days ahead.
Welcome to Blowing Bubbles, positive conversations with people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world. I'm Samuel Mann in Sawyers Bay, Dunedin, and I am joined from Whakatane by Mawira Karatai. Kia ora, Mawira.
Sam, how's it going?
It's going very well indeed. We are nearing the end of the series Coming Up For Air, your master's student's fabulous work.
Yep, we are. We've got Jay is the fifth to last. We've got four more after Jay of this cohort, and the second cohort well underway with their podcast creation. So
now they also you've also got them writing stuff, and I think we should point people to where they can find that as well.
Yeah, there's the students have all written some work, which is on the Aim to Flourish website, and those were some extraordinary pieces of work. Aim to Flourish publishes that work from academics all over the world, based on how would you best describe it, Jay? You wrote about it. How would you describe it?
It's about the work, I mean, people that are working in sustainable space. Basically they're businesses which are making profit and they have got a better business plan for future and which is still in a sustainable, you know, better for the planet.
So in line, everything is aligned with this sustainable development goals, and it's the stories of people who are doing good work, basically, and through the lens of our students. So, and speaking of students doing very good work, since you've already spoken and I didn't introduce you yet, it is my great pleasure to introduce Jay Oberoi. Welcome, Jay. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Mawira. Thank you, Samuel. It's a pleasure to be here. Honoured.
Welcome, Jay. Where are you, Jay?
I am in Melbourne at this stage. Just recently moved to Melbourne from Auckland. I'm missing Auckland so much. Yeah, the coziness of the people, of the area, my hammock.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Delhi in India, born and brought up there, married there, had my first child there. And when my first child was born, my husband decided to move to a safer place bringing up my daughter. So we moved to New Zealand.
Cool. What was it like growing up in Delhi?
It was nice. I had lots of friends. We used to play on the streets. It was much, much safe then, back then. But I think the things changed. And I do see the people, it's life has become more materialistic. It's not that, you know, the neighborhood is not the same. People just stick to their phones and their laptops. Yeah, it's become quite silo and solo.
So what did you want to be when you grew up?
I wanted to be someone who could care about the environment. I was, I loved science. I loved environmental sciences. So I took science growing up. I studied environmental sciences in my grad. Then I did my master's in environmental sciences. But when I came to New Zealand, I loved the way how early childhood was, the curriculum was, and I was like amazed how the teachers spoke to the children. I thought it was the most respectful way, you know, the people talk to the kids, just taking them as human beings, not just kids. So I decided that I want to study it. But at the same time, I was so connected to the environmental sciences and, you know, the environment science. So I volunteered as for YCARE, which is Water Care for Volunteers, and part of Water Care. And I used to do water testing for a creek, a local creek. And I did it for 15 years while I was there in Auckland. Yeah. And after finishing my course in early childhood, my grad diploma, I worked with I was quite fortunate to work with a center that was completely immersed in sustainability. It was called Collectively Kids. And the owner and the boss of that kindergarten, she was a German lady, and she was Marina Backman. She was so passionate about sustainability and circular economy. And I'm talking about 16 years back. At that time, we had a center that was waste-free. We had nappies that were cloth nappies, no disposables. We had a guy who had cerebral palsy. He used to come and he used to do shopping for us. He used to go to local shopping center and he used to get us shopping for us. He would, when he used to come back, we used to give him $5, and he used to do this for twice a week. So once he used to get $5, another day he used to get a bunch of bananas. And whenever there was a party, there was a birthday of a kid, he used to come, and he used to enjoy having cakes and juices. Such a, you know, lovely atmosphere. Some children who were new to the center, they used to get scared, you know, but as he used to come along, and they used to find that he's a, you know, harmless person, he's part of the community. So the inclusion was there. Yeah, it was such a great atmosphere.
So what led you to enroll in a Masters of Sustainable Business?
A lot of reasons. I wanted to find a bridge between my science and business. To be abreast with the ISO standards, the GRIs, all that standards that are, you know, that we need to know, and what's actually happening in the real world, you know, sustainable issues in the business, in the market, what are we dealing with actually?
Awesome. Let's take your song. Oh, it's a special song. Let's take your song. Which song are we having and why?
This is a song called Rainbow Skies. It's by my daughter Guntas Oberoi, and this is through Play It Strange. She the theme was peace, and she wrote this song. She got selected, and she was one of the finalists, and they funded her song, and she got it recorded professionally. So I'm really proud of her. Actually, I didn't know what was she writing about, what was it all about. And she said, "Mom, it's about finding silver lining in everything." And she told me that the silver lining is about when we visited Christchurch, we visited the cardboard church. And she told me that she still had those, it was a long time back, but she said that she still had those memories when there were cracks, and she could see the Christchurch had the cracks. And the church had those colorful glasses, and she could see the colorful skies and the colorful floor. So she related all that. She had those in her memories, and she, you know, created that, wrote that song and created the music. So really proud of her.
And so you should be.
Yeah.
I watch the sunlight dance across your face. Is it dark clouds tippy toe away? Finding their way out of my mouth. Did you know I could be so loud? Running against the wind as the rain falls. I see the rays through the downpour. Stormy clouds turn into rainbow skies. 'Cause I figured see. Feels like angels are watching over me. Summer to winter to summer again. Watch flowers wither and bloom afresh. That's just how the world seems to spin. From winter to summer and back once more. Watch the light through the cracks, make patterns on the floor.
Bubble Sprite of the Forest of Orokanui, Dunedin's favourite goddess, Tahu Mackenzie.
Kia ora koutou, ngā mihi arohanui kia koutou, ko tahu aho. I hope you're all happy today, beautiful superstars in your beloved universes. And I really hope, wherever you are, whatever's happening around you, this journey that we're all on together is proving to be very rewarding, very sustainable, and illuminating for you more in each day, who you are. The triumph of nature's art, perfect, unique, and here, making special. Now I know that for us all, the last several years have been very tough, and it's so important that we acknowledge the changes that have taken place within us and around us, and for all of us know that these changes have an ongoing and discombobulating effect. And at all times, of course, we don't know really the reality within those around us. We can guess and we can do our best to respectfully inquire, but for all of us, our beautiful brains, our inspirational immaculate consciousness are creating themselves anew uniquely in each moment. So it's so important we give ourselves the time and the space not only to represent and be ourselves in the outer world but in the inner world. Now for myself, of course, being out in nature has been my work and my passion for the last 20 years and indeed all my life before I began working. And I've been so fortunate and I'm so grateful every day that I'm allowed to be outside and I'm allowed to play and I'm allowed to work with children of all ages and reconnect that child within us all. Recently, due to changes brought about by COVID, so we have less staff, I'm now learning quite a different mode of being, which is admin, working inside in the office space. Very fortunate to have established my queendom, the beautiful Queen Victoria who I work with, and able to share my office space, which of course I've had for 16 years, but very rarely used. Many other people have made use of that space, which is wonderful. And this is a new time of learning for me. I really appreciate it. It's also difficult. It doesn't come naturally to me. And so it's something that I am learning to love. So important, of course, if we can, to reframe these challenges, these new ways of being, doing, seeing, feeling, as new capacities within our hearts for love and within our minds for expansion and appreciation. I'm very fortunate, of course, to work with the beautiful wife of Sam, Leslie, who's your friend. Her capacity for excellence in this world is unparalleled. So, of course, I'm very fortunate to be able to ask her for assistance at times. I'm now communicating with teachers and schools and doing the bookings, sending out the RAMs and all those sorts of things that they need. This previously was done by other staff who have now had to return to the wider world. And I'm sure for all of us, we're having to make changes within our roles and learn new skills. So I really hope for you in the process of this journey, just like any process of transformation, when there is pain, when there is doubt, when there is exhaustion, when it feels that the whole world is unsettled and changing, that we can know that there is an end in sight and satisfaction to be gained from the learning of these new aptitudes, capacities. Of course, being part of this show has been a huge part of my own growth and development, and I want to thank Sam and the whole Blown Bubbles team for having me. And I really hope for you wherever you are and whatever's happening around you, you know that you have the ability to learn new skills and share your gifts with this world, any time, any age, any stage and place, and really enjoy it. And I look forward to talking to you again soon. Thanks so much. Ka kite.
You're listening to Blowing Bubbles. We're talking with Jay Oberoi.
Jay, we're going to listen to your podcast now, but before we do, what would you like the listeners to know about your podcast interview?
This is about Fossil Ad Ban. This is about an organization called Comms Declare. These people are working, I think they're diving deep to bring the sustainability issues on the surface. To achieve the restrictions on fossil fuel advertising and sponsorships in Australia. Sorry, I'm doing a lot of
That's right, I can fix it.
Okay. So it's an advocacy group in Australia within the professional areas of advertising, marketing and public relations and media. So they're persuading people in these industries to stop supporting fossil fuel companies, which I feel is really important because we are just being numb by the ads. So they are making people realize that you're being greenwashed. In Australia, they have done a great job and many of the councils have stopped the fossil ads. So yeah, I was really impressed by the work they are doing. So I just wanted to bring this. And fortunately, this person is Matt Bray. He is a Kiwi guy.
Awesome.
And I met him in an event and I thought, yep, I want to interview you.
All the best Australians are actually New Zealand.
In this age of climate crisis, we tend to pay attention to ads, labels, to make sure that the products we are buying are eco-friendly or sustainable. Unfortunately, these ads are sometimes misleading. And guess what? It's a hogwash. It is a greenwashing. Kia ora, Matt. Welcome to this episode of Coming Up for Air, Contemporary Issues in Sustainability. I have Matt Bray with me today, who is a Kiwi guy I met in Aussie land. Before we begin, we acknowledge the original stewards of these lands. Matt, we have a similar concept in New Zealand. I think you'd know it's called Kaitiakitanga, which is guardians.
Yes.
And you're working as a guardian, as a kaitiaki for planet Earth by working in this climate change space.
I hope so. I try to think that I'm doing my part, yes.
And I mean, the discussions we had the other day, they were really inspiring. And yeah, and I just thought, this is the person I want to interview. I want to know more about what you're doing in this space. Firstly, Matt, I'd like you to tell me about yourself, about the fusion of Art Disrupt and Creative for Climate or Comms Declaration. What's the fusion of these things?
Yeah, a short history is in 2019-2020, when there was a lot of noise around the world about the climate, especially with Extinction Rebellion in Europe. And Greta Thunberg was making a lot of noise on the global stage. It made me decide to take my 15 years of advertising background and reflect on the impacts of advertising in the context of the climate and overconsumption, which is a big problem with climate change, is overconsumption drives the pollution that is causing global warming. So I decided to start a side hustle basically called Art Disrupt and basically got to work having conversations with people in this the climate space to find out where I fit, to find out where I could be of use. And that's when I came across at a climate emergency summit the founder of Comms Declare, which is Comms Declare is a advertising and communications industry advocacy group calling on the marketing and communications industry to not work with fossil fuel clients. And it felt like a very aligned, valued organization that I felt I could really make some impact with. So I basically joined Comms Declare, and over the last 4 years, I've been growing my little side hustle, which is Art Disrupt, in the climate activism space, and working with Comms Declare on the more legislative and kind of more system change through policy and legislation.
Right. So can you tell me what sort of projects have you worked on? Like how this, the whole thing, your organization, Creative for Climate, how you guys are moving ahead? What are the projects that you worked on?
I've worked on, over the last 4 years, I've worked on quite a few projects. With Comms Declare, we have done, apart from growing our membership base, where we have agencies and individuals in marketing and communications to declare that they won't work with fossil fuel clients, we've grown a pretty substantial membership base. And we've also gone on to campaign the Fossil Ad Ban campaign in Australia. We've been running this campaign for 2 years. We're about to go into our third year. And the Fossil Ad Ban campaign is a campaign to get a tobacco-style ban on fossil fuel advertising. So we strip the fossil fuel industry's weapon of misinformation that they use to make the public complacent, thinking that everything is okay and the fossil fuel industry is doing their part when they're not.
Right. So you just mentioned about, you know, the ads that make people complacent, or do you think it's somewhat related to greenwashing? Because I've been interested in that kind of thing, and you're working in you're creating ads, you're in the creative side of it. So how do you think that people do greenwashing and they still say that, you know, they are kind of, you know, it is safer to use, it is green, it is, do you see such stuff in your, you know, ad or advertisements? You see people doing it around?
Yes, absolutely. We see it a lot. And it's not just greenwashing. There's a lot of new definitions coming out about the types of greenwashing. Greenwashing is quite a broad term. There's also, and there's things like green hushing, where you're, rather than saying you're being green, you actually stay quiet so you don't have to get a target put on, you know, on your brand. So you'd rather not talk about stuff. There's sports washing, where they're using sponsorship to make, to manipulate public perception of what, how, you know, important they are to the community. And green rinsing, there's other terms around. I think what has happened over the last few years, there's a very big movement of trying to dissect exactly how greenwashing impacts, you know, our lives in all the different ways. So there's a lot more information about how it manipulates social license and public perception. And we're really getting really good information out there. But the problem is we don't have enough voices or that clarity to get communicated out to the public when there's so much money in greenwashing that they can keep bombarding the community with these messages that are basically telling untruths and misinformation with big, big marketing budgets that it's hard to compete against when you're just trying to get some clarity into what these industries are actually doing.
Right. So, I mean, what do you think? What's stopping them? I mean, of course, there's a lot of money and, you know, corporate sector is giving a lot of money in marketing and they want to make profits. Other than that, what do you, like, what's the stopping? Because sustainability, these topics are not new. We know that we are in a, it's a dilemma, you know. Climate change is there. It's on our heads. We need to do something. So what's stopping us? Why?
Well, I think it's big part of that is that the complacency that comes around when the information we're receiving is actually not the true story. So that's where we have taken on board the Fossil Ad Ban campaign, because it's attempting to strip away some of that misinformation. The Fossil Ad Ban campaign doesn't address every problem in this conversation, but it does go quite a long way to stripping away some of that noise so that we can clear the air for proper conversations with community about the impacts from climate and how they can understand what is happening and how we can actually address it as a community to be prepared for climate impacts that are happening more and more frequently and are intensifying.
If you don't mind me asking you, how did you do a camp? I mean, how do you guys do a campaign? How did you do that? Like you said, you've been doing it for last 2 years and into your third year. How did you make that impact in that area?
Yeah, so basically the Fossil Aid Ban campaign is it's a tiered campaign where we basically to try and get legislative change, you need to move the needle where you can. So we started when we launched the campaign, we were targeting councils that had declared climate emergencies because they're the most aligned with, what our messaging. We used health professionals and information about how the impacts of pollution from the fossil fuel industry at large on community and the deaths attributed to climate change. And so the format for Fossil Aid Ban is to get motions put in front of councils, and we would work with councils that want to are thinking about introducing a Fossil Aid Ban on their council. We would help them understand what legislation was right for them, and then we would help them put that motion forward. And then it's up to the councils then themselves to then take the baton and then run with it. And we've had success on over 15 councils so far with they're proposing a fossil aid ban. And the second stage, which we are starting to get involved in now, is legislative change on a federal level. So we have our third campaign, our third year of the campaign will really focus on getting legislation up and considered in federal government. And really, we're just trying to facilitate those conversations. It's not that we're trying to dictate how this conversation goes. We're just trying to provide the platform, the resources for MPs, federal members of parliament to help them make those, good decisions for the Australian community. So that's the third year, the focus of the third year of the campaign. And to create the campaign, basically we got funding for a 3 year campaign. So it's with that support from a foundation which made that campaign possible, because really it's without resources for media buying and marketing and that kind of stuff, it's really hard to try and make a campaign with a really, really small budget when the fossil fuel industry users have marketing budgets running into the hundreds of millions annually to try and say the opposite side of opposite of what we're trying to say. Is like we're trying to get the clarity into the community. And on a lean budget, I think we're doing pretty well so far, but we've still got a lot to do.
Right, really cool. So I understand you work with a lot of professionals in this, in making these campaigns and running these campaigns. So do you make a video? Do you make a movie? Do you make some pamphlets? So how, because I think you mentioned something about movies as well. So an environmental movie festival, is it this campaign? Is that movie festival, are these related or are they different?
Yeah, I really will try anything to be involved in really communicating what the reality of what the climate change means for the community. So that's really part of the fossil aid ban is one side of things, and that's my main work with Comms to Clear. But personally, I've been working with a lot of organizations to see how I can be most impactful using creativity to craft a message that resonates longer than what our budget really allows us to, because we do normally operate in with quite small budgets. The budgets are growing, so we're getting a bit more opportunities to do some more impactful work. But I've done everything from creating TV ads, billboards. I've created a board game where you play to become a gas tycoon to try and, to try and actually make it almost, there needs to be some kind of entertainment out of what we're trying to communicate as well, because we're trying to fight so much against an overwhelming amount of greenwashing. I hope to bring creativity that makes it a more engaging and enjoyable, accessible, and doesn't normally talk to the people that are already engaged and understand the climate, what is happening with climate change. I try and work just on the edge of that community to try and draw more people into this conversation to embark on their own journey of discovery about what climate change means and how it's going to impact them in the future.
Cool, thank you. And I want to know what's your style? I mean, as you've mentioned, you've made a game or a lot of other things. But what I mean, you talk about entertainment in these ads as well. So what do you think works more? Do you work with sarcasm or you work with funny? Because I see gas tycoons behind you is the poster. So what do you feel it's more engaging? What do you think works better?
It's a tricky one because I know on my journey I kind of want to feel what works well for me, and there's a lot of different ways that I will communicate with the subject. I do like humor and comedy and sarcasm, but there also I do like there is a conversation around where we should be talking about too harshly about the reality of the situation and be all doom and gloom. But I also see value in actually not sugarcoating messaging. And so through the Environmental Film Festivals Australia, we're hosting a day-long event next month to draw people into like stories that people have produced to try and kind of do their own way of connecting to the audience. And I think really I don't think there's one extremely the best way. It depends on the audience, depends on your message. It depends if your how you package your messaging, if it feels genuine and authentic. I think that's a good start. I think a lot of people that are coming into the creative area to support the climate movement, you can really feel that authenticity in the work. So it really does a lot better than your standard greenwashing or typical advertising, because the people that are doing that work are really invested in it. They want the message to resonate, and they're really working hard to make sure that any budgets we get to try and get a message out to the community about whatever subject, that it reaches as many people and makes that genuine connection as possible. So really, it's an open book. There's a lot of different opinions of to what's the best angle, but I feel there's validity all angles to approach this topic because everybody is different. We're trying to reach every person, so that can mean many different ways to talk.
And can you give me, I mean, you've mentioned about the ads you're working with, but can you give me an example where you've instant success that says that you're proud? Like, I mean, I'm sure a lot of proud moments, but this is it. We have made a big change. Any such example that instant gratification you've got?
Over the years, the last 4 years of trying to make some impact in the climate space, being a creative, I have gone a few through quite a few failures on that journey. But really, those failures just lead into the next, that learning next experience, and then being over time, you start to get more success in that. So I've had like the full spectrum of wins and losses in this space, but really the most impactful stuff would be working with Concert Clear on the fossil ad ban campaign. I feel that is such it's a real logical campaign. It makes sense. We've really got it's well researched as to why it should happen. The marketing industry can actually see that this is actually inevitable, really. So they're starting to have conversations that these types of bans or labeling that's required on products and all of that kind of thing, they're kind of on the horizon. So the industry needs to be prepared for it and know how to deal with that. So it's one that would, and once we've run through the full campaign and see how far we get with it, it really will make a big impact on the landscape of greenwashing in Australia.
I'm sure. Yeah, definitely. So, if there's one message that you want to give to your audience, your listeners, what would that be?
I think don't get bogged down in knowing what's the best thing to do. Everything is good.
Yeah.
There's a lot of debate that happens if somebody's saying, "Oh, I'm passionate about recycling," and then somebody says, "Well, your individual actions won't make a difference." Well, I don't really buy into that argument because all action is good action. maybe there's better ways, maybe there's other things, but we're all learning together. I'm still discovering new ways of communicating better, what kind of resources are out there. So it's a constant learning process. So I don't feel that what you're passionate about, if anybody tries to talk you out of your direction, what's their motive for that? Are they because they think their idea is better? I've had ideas which I've thought have been, this is a great idea, this will solve everything early on. And then you get to realize that, no, everything needs to happen at the same time. Everybody's voice is valued when you talk to the right groups. And we're very inclusive when you find the right tribe of people that you are working with.
Yeah.
We all want the same thing, which is a better, a safer planet for the future communities.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's beautiful. One last question, Matt. If you could change one thing right now that would make the most significant positive difference for the future, what would that be?
I'll probably go two levels on this one. I think there's, again, like I kind of mentioned, all action is good action. So
yeah.
Across the board. So I don't feel, but the ones that I'm most familiar with and I think I have the most knowledge about, my first level would be the Fossil Ad Ban campaign being a success. I think that would be a big win. So people can support the Fossil Ad Ban campaign by going to fossiladban.org and submitting a letter to MPs to say, hey, we want a fossil ad ban in Australia. It's a pretty simple process. And if successful, I think it would be really good. And the more ambitious one, and maybe a bit utopian, is just getting rid of a lot of advertising. I don't feel that advertising does a lot more harm than good in its current form. I feel the fossil ad ban is one area of regulation, but I feel there could be a lot more regulation around advertising that is harmful, because I feel most of it is, we see in our day to day. It doesn't help support, you know, a well and good community. So advertising needs to be reined in and really be accountable when they're harming community rather than contributing to it.
Yeah, since, I mean, you're in that space and you see how the good ads are working and how the ads are greenwashing people and, you know, making them complicit. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Cool. I mean, thank you so much, Matt.
You are.
Jay, that was really interesting, and I had no idea that that was going on. So this was a great revelation to me and very heartening as well. It is, gosh, I just, when I think that social change is not happening fast enough and there aren't enough people doing stuff in the social change space, then I see this kind of work going on. So this really did make me feel quite hopeful. Where did you land with this? How did you feel after it all?
Thinking all about the products I buy, you know, it was a reflection for myself as well. screening through all the things in my pantry. And also started volunteering for another group here. So I just thought community needs to know. How can I spread the learning that I have gained? May not be through any jobs, but how can I volunteer? How can I extend myself, my knowledge? Yeah. So,
what's your new volunteer role?
It is in a chatty cafe, in a local council neighborhood. Yeah, just talking to elderly people, talking to the libraries. At this stage, it is something small but meaningful.
What does that look like? Does something like that exist here in Aotearoa, New Zealand?
You mean the ad ban or?
No, the cafe.
Cafe? No, I haven't. No, I don't think so, Mawera. I think the libraries are doing something, but this is really unique that they have here. They have, the neighborhood community has opened their doors for a lot of people. These elderly people, they come and they offer free coffee and food and fruits. They come and they chat for an hour and a half. They have discussions. They listen to music. They, you know, Yeah, it's such a lovely atmosphere. It's something, a place where the elderly people who feel lonely, they can come and talk. They can discuss their issues. They can bring in, if they want to do, they help the, like I met a lady who used to do Braille for the visually challenged people. So she shared all her resources to the library. She shared with us. She felt proud, you know. And yeah, we appreciated her, and she was like, yeah, she did something great in her life. So something small but really powerful for them.
I'm actually amazed by the concept of that because that there needs to be more connection to rebuild community. And
Absolutely.
what a beautiful way to achieve that. Have you,
Yeah, I
what
agree.
sort of results have you seen from that in the time you've been there?
I've been here for 2.5, 3 months, and I see that the number of people have grown. There used to be only two tables, but now I think we have to set up four tables now. So it's through word of mouth. They don't do any ads, but they bring their friends, and I think they have developed new friendships on the go, and they've become, you know, the person who only had a lady coming to help them, she has found two or three friends. She can share her, you know, her thoughts, her ideas, and her just her history with that lady now. So yeah, they found new friends, new security. Yeah.
That amazed me, and I'm sorry that we completely diverted away from your podcast, but that is just so beautiful. What a
Yeah,
beautiful
yes.
story, and what an incredible thing. I feel very inspired by that. So moving back to your podcast, where do you think we go from here in terms of the work that's being done
What do you mean?
in the space that in the space that we listened to in your podcast? Where do we go from here?
I think each one of us need to understand what do we actually want? Do we want a safer planet? We need to talk to ourselves. Do we want a safer planet? We need to start working on it. We need to see, as Matt Bray said, the ads make us complacent. So we need to figure out, like I was saying, that we need to reflect on what we buy. Are these ads, do the companies and the ads they give, are they, you know, some of the companies are doing ESG, some of the companies are saying that they do sustainability and circular, and are they actually doing? We need to do research ourselves. We need to figure out, is it actually happening, or is it just greenwashing or green hushing? What exactly it is. So we need to make a stand now. If we really want to live in a safer planet, or we need something safer for our kids, we need to, yeah. I think it's on us now. We can't be, you know, numb and sit on on our couches and watch the ads or buy the things that we, you know, it's not a show game now. We have to be serious.
It's funny, I think about, you know, like we for many years had tobacco advertising on the TV, and the
Yeah.
tobacco advertising would say, if you smoke, you'll lose weight.
Yeah.
If you smoke, you look way more attractive. If you smoke, you feel better about life. And all
Yeah.
of these things that promoted you should smoke because your life will be so much better if you smoke. All the while, the tobacco companies knew that they were killing us.
Yeah.
And so and yet we still receive advertising messages without challenging them, even though we know that they're designed to captivate us and make a product out of us.
Absolutely, that's so silly. And I was just looking at the e-cigarettes. So many youngsters going to schools are smoking. It's just horrendous. And these, I think the politicians promised that they won't be in 2 kilometers, these shops won't be there. But they are there. They're within 500 meters of the schools, which is so bad. It's such an encouragement for the students to go and smoke, go and buy it.
My son, in our very small town, Whakatane, very small town, 17,000 people, in the w walk from our house to his school, he passes three vape shops.
Yeah, see.
Three vape shops and two liquor stores.
So how, yeah, it's really sad.
And we
We,
still allow this. How
yeah, we
do we
still.
change that?
Yeah, that's what it comes down to, us come down to community, that we need to be together. It's really, it's the time.
Do you think the movement is growing? Because it sounds to me like it is, you know, from having heard your podcast, listening to your kōrero, listening to your whole cohort, almost every single person who's in your cohort has got some really significant social change project that they're working on. Do you think that this is a wider movement, or are we just in an echo chamber?
It's a combination of both, but it is growing, definitely. As I said, there are organizations, there are people who, you know, who are like surfacey. Yes, it is happening, but it's again a reality check. We need to check. We need to reflect. And yes, if there is something positive happening, we need to blow it up. Just here, like here. The bubbles, yeah.
Exactly.
I need to interrupt this fascinating conversation because I have some questions to end the show. And I'm driving, so I get to choose that we're interrupting now. Jay, what is the biggest success you've had in the last couple of years?
The stream, the creek that I used to volunteer for, we had a biggest success for that because it was full of muck. It was full of waste. People used to dump waste in it. I mean, all sorts of plastic waste we used to find, but now it's a clean creek. The chemical and the biological indicators are beautiful. People dive in it. It's safer for people. So I think that was the biggest success. Second success was Collectively Kids, where it was a zero waste center, and we did a lot of sessions for other centers as well to be sustainable. Yeah.
What is your superpower?
I don't know that.
What would your kids say is your superpower?
I'm an aggressive mom. I think I'm a resilient person, Samuel. I can handle change.
Do you consider yourself to be an activist?
Yes. Yep, I do.
I think you are about the first person of all of the people we've talked to for coming up for air that has answered yes. Most people say no and then explain that they really are. I think you're the first person to actually say yes. So well done.
Oh, thank you.
What's your go-to definition of sustainability?
My go-to definition for sustainability is keep yourself healthy, clear from all the chemicals.
I was going to ask if that was a different, because you've come from several different backgrounds, from environmental science and early childhood and in business. Does that definition stand up in all of those areas?
I think environment, that's because I worked as an auditor for effluent treatment plants and air pollution control systems. And working in the creek, early childhood center, and the business, it's all amalgamated with chemicals which are synthetically produced. Even the food we eat, even the blankets, you put them on, you feel so hot, you take them off. I mean, they can't control the temperature, and everything is synthetic. And I feel it's all the chemicals that are in the air, in the water, in the food we eat. And I think if we start keeping ourselves healthier, if we have a healthier choice, then I think we will be able to get rid of all these, you know, we'll have a healthier environment.
So what motivates you?
I think my kids, you know, keeping them safe from all that, it's hard work.
What's the biggest challenge or opportunity that you're looking forward to in the next year or so?
Finding solutions to a lot of problems. Like my younger one, she loves fruits. She loves the berries the most. And all the berries, they come in punnets, which are plastic. And I feel every time I buy it, I feel like, you know, stop eating them because I don't know a solution. How can I buy them without these plastic punnets? So, yeah, that's the problem. And I want to find a solution to that.
And if you find it for you, hopefully you'll find it for lots of other people.
Yeah.
And lastly, do you have any advice for our listeners?
Keep safe. Reflect on what we buy, what we see. Yeah, just look after yourself. I think that's the most important thing. When we start doing it, we'll have a safer place.
Thank you for that. Mawira.
Jay, I'd like to thank you very much for your contribution to our shared learning space over these papers. You are so quick with a smile, and you've got a very contagious laughter, and you bring so much happiness, and especially because some of the topics that we cover can be really intense and difficult, but you just bring such a lightness and so much natural positivity, and I really appreciate that, and I know that your classmates do too. So thank you for joining us. Thank you for the very thoughtful podcast, for the learning that that's given all of us, and we wish you well for the future. Kia ora.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. It was a pleasure, and I'm really honored by you both listening to me and accepting my ahs and all that in between. I hope Samuel can sort it out. Thank you so much.
That's all right. We are going out to Crowded House, another New Zealander stolen by Australia. It's only natural.
Ice will melt, water will boil. You and I shake off this mortal coil. It's bigger than us. You don't have to worry about it. Or not, here comes a drop. You feel lucky when you know where you are. You know it's gonna come true. Here in your arms, I remember. It's only natural that I should want to be there with you. It's only natural that you should feel the same way too. Man in a cage has made his confession. Now you see me at my worst, and it won't be the last time I'm down there. I want you to know I feel completely at ease. Read me like a book that's falling down between your knees. Please let me have my way with you. Should want to be there with you. It's only natural that you should feel the same way too. It's circumstantial, it's nothing written in the sky, and we don't even have to try.
Safe spaces around the world, brought to you by the Sustainable Lens team, which is brought to you by Otago Polytechnic. We're broadcast on Otago Access Radio every Wednesday afternoon at 3 and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz. You can find us on Facebook. We had a contribution today from Tahu McKenzie. This was another in our series coming up for air. Today we had Jay Oberoi. With Mawira Karatai, I'm Samuel Mann. That was Blowing Bubbles. We hope you enjoyed the show. Mā te wā.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.